joining us today on the September edition of the Leader Audio Report. I am Lucy Russell, Director of Producer Engagement, along with our AVP of State and National Relations, Stephanie Carlson. Today, we are chatting with Kelsey Shoneman, Manager of Labor, Tax, and Competition here at NPPC. Kelsey, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So we are about 2 months post the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that was signed July 4th, I believe. Kelsey, can you tell us a little bit about the provisions that were included that are helpful for our pork producers?
Yeah, there were five total provisions that producers should kind of keep an eye on as they're, you know, heading into tax season. So the qualified business income deduction, section 199A, which permanently allows qualified pass-throughs to deduct up to 20% of their qualified business income when determining their federal tax liability. This is reduces the effective tax rate of a pass-through entity and makes it more comparable to an operation that was structured as a corporation. So it allows producers to be able to focus on what their operation needs without taking into account specifically their tax liability.
And are some of these pass-through entities, they're structured as S-corps, or what would be any other potential business?
It allows them to do partnerships or, you know, just choose whatever one works for them without having to become a corporation in order for tax purposes only. And then another provision that was included in reconciliation is the business interest expense limitation. This was also made permanent, and it reverts back to having the definition of the adjusted taxable income to include earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization when determining the amount of business interest that a taxpayer may deduct. Under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act previously, pork producers who were carrying multiple loans or lines of credit had been severely impacted with this change in definition. So this allows producers to be able to revert back to how they were calculating their adjusted taxable income.
Nice. That's a definite benefit for them, especially with multiple lines of credit impacting their business decisions.
Yeah, so then producers aren't severely impacted by that, so that's helpful for them that they changed to an old definition for that. And then another provision is the bonus appreciation, which permanently allows taxpayers to immediately expense 100% of the cost of qualified property. This was set to sunset by 20% each year with full elimination in 2027 under the TCJA. So, you know, permanently putting this in place is helpful for producers when making large capital investments.
Very nice. That'll be definitely impactful, especially when we're talking about property. I mean, that's our biggest liability when it comes to taxes. So, awesome. I appreciate you going through those major ones. Are there other provisions that we should be mindful of as producers are looking towards the end of the year?
Yeah, there's two more. Estate tax exemption. This was increased and made permanent to $15 million beginning in calendar year 2026 and also increases with inflation. This allows producers to be able to...
to be able to pass their farm on to the next generation without having that tax burden.
Yeah. Yeah. And allows, if it would have expired under CCJA, it would have been reduced back to $5 million per decedent. And under TCJA, it was at $10 million. So pork producers are, you know, disproportionately impacted by the estate tax due to a large amount of land necessary for producers. So this is helpful as, you know, producers require more and more to be able to, you know, keep their operation going. So, you know, increasing it to $15 million is helpful to be able to pass it on to the next generation without incurring extra taxes.
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of producers age out of their operations, so that's hugely impactful as they're looking at their succession planning, definitely.
Yeah, we want to be able to pass these operations on to the next generation without strapping them with tax liability right off the bat.
Yeah.
And then another provision was Section 179 expensing, which allows the immediate expensing of the cost of eligible property purchased and placed into immediate service. It was increased to $2.5 million and then reduced by the amount by which the cost of qualifying property exceeds $4 million. So if you have any questions on any of these provisions, like, definitely consult your accountant. And they will be able to help you in utilizing these provisions to the benefit for your operation.
Yeah, always sound advice. Always consult a tax professional when we're talking about businesses so you can get the most out of what you have and what you're working with. Very good. Well, Kelsey, thank you so much for being on here with us. I know competition, tax, and labor are three major challenges that we deal with in the pork industry. So I think probably the biggest one that we are dealing with, it seems like for the last 2 years, is labor. Mm-hmm. And so we've been doing a lot of work on the labor front, especially with the TN visas and getting more workers approved, guest workers coming here, but I know that there's still a lot of work to go. So what are some other things that we're working on the labor front?
Yeah, so MBPC's priorities on the labor front are definitely continuing to utilize TN visas. And then something we're looking to change is allowing year-round industries like pork to be able to access the H-2A program. Currently, it's only allowed for temporary seasonal industries in ag, so pork being year-round don't have access. So those are kind of the two main pillars. You know, TNs continue to be a vital part of filling the workforce needs for our producers. They're skilled workers, typically from Mexico, allowed to work in the U.S. for 3 years, and they typically come in under an animal breeder, animal scientist, or veterinarian. I know producers really value those, the expertise that they bring to kind of fill those, the gaps that they have in their production.
Absolutely. And was the issue that we were facing before that they weren't seeing them as skilled workers, or do you know a little bit of background about what those increased challenges that we were facing last year?
Yeah, they were facing some denials in those visa applications, and it was a disconnect between the State Department and, you know, like, employers who were filling out the applications, and the definitions weren't directly aligning. But now that they have been using the ONET definition, now they are, you know, we have seen an increase in approvals. You know, we think we're on the right track there, but, you know, if producers are having problems with getting a lot of denials, definitely reach out. We know how important these TN visas are to our producers and able to, you know, especially help it on sow farms and kind of that valued, very valuable skill set that they bring.
Absolutely.
So it feels like we've been talking about labor reform and agriculture workforce in Congress for 2 decades now. Can you tell us what the lay of the land is currently and how we continue to have those conversations?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, we do not have access to the H-2A program because we are a year-round industry. The Department of Labor restricts to both seasonal and temporary work, so we are not eligible. But as we look at some legislation that's being brought on the Hill, there's the Farm Workforce Modernization Act that has been brought multiple times, been introduced on the House side with bipartisan support. It has not been introduced in the Senate this Congress. You know, we're kind of hoping that there will be some movement, but it's not looking super promising. But, you know, we still want producers to be able to have, you know, background on these bills in case they, when and if they do move. So some highlights of this bill is that it creates a certified agricultural worker status that allows foreign-born ag workers in the U.S. to earn legal status through continued ag employment for a certain period of time. And then another huge thing is that it would make changes to the H-2A visa program that would allow for ag work that is not temporary or seasonal. So that would allow pork producers do utilize this program. In this bill, it does cap the number of visas for non-temporary seasonal workers at 20,000, but with options to increase in the following years. And it does reserve 50% of the 20,000 for dairy industry specifically. And then another provision that could be helpful is that it dedicates 40,000 green cards per year specifically for ag workers. Also requires all employers who hire farm workers in the U.S. to use the E-Verify program. So those are just some highlights from it. There are a lot of changes included in there that to the H-2A program that we, you know, since we don't have access, are not, you know, our number one goal is to be able to have access to the program. Who knows when and if that might, you know, actually move on the Hill, but, you know, something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
There has been some movement or announcements within the administration, correct, on the adverse effect wage rate related to H-2As?
Yeah, there has been some change on that. They have been, you know, working on some regulations, but since we don't have access, you know, producer, you know, don't need to know the nitty-gritty quite yet until
right.
You know, we're allowed to access the program more broadly. So,
but potentially this could be a positive momentum that could continue the conversation for further changes. You know, we got to remain optimistic here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You know, as they're working on more regulation changes, you know, there's always hope that something big might change. You know, nothing is off the table.
Every time
right.
we go into an office and we talk about it, every time we make a phone call mm-hmm. and talk to our legislators about it, it brings the issue to the forefront. They care about what their constituents think, so we need to make sure that they're thinking about these labor reforms so we can get access to those workers to mm-hmm. help out the U.S. pork herd.
Yeah. And then another thing to keep an eye out, Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, G.T. Thompson, he had a egg labor working group last year, and we are told that he plans to introduce legislation based on those proposals from that group. The text has not been made public yet, but some, you know, topics of note that were included in that working group, that there was a recommendation with unanimous support that there be reform for the H-2A program to allow year-round industries full access to the program. So we are hopeful that that is in there, along with some other, you know, favorable changes to the H-2A program, you know, when and if we have access to it. So that would be good too. So that is something to look for, hopefully in the coming month or two, for that text to come out. So that could be a bright spot on Congress.
Absolutely. We are nearing the end of this session of Congress, so we need to make sure that all of our priorities continue to be brought up and continue to have those discussions with our legislators. We know that they have a ton of other priorities that are also quite taxing, but we need to make sure that our voices are being heard as well. And part of the thing that I love about the pork industry is we hit above our weight. We keep showing up, right? So keep having those conversations and keep making sure that they understand these priorities need to get addressed before the end of the session, because mm-hmm. it's just going to be more challenging if it goes on into next year, right?
Yeah. And like Seth mentioned, you know, this stuff has been in the works for decades. So, you know, we're hopeful that there's a breaking point and there can be, you know, if we continue to work towards positive changes, that there will be some change in it.
Absolutely.
You know, continue to stay engaged, and there's a lot of technicalities in what we talked about today, and so both with the tax provisions and within labor, and you know it's not simple and it's not easy, and so just really appreciate Kelsey being the expert here with us today, and if we have further questions, producers, don't hesitate to reach out, and we'll do our best to get you what you need. So just thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And, you know, producers can feel free to reach out anytime.
Thank you so much, Kelsey. Thank you all for joining us. Have a great rest of your day.